Good morning. We are in. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. What a great title Simon has been bringing to the table today. We are Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. This is titled out in the Fighting Talk series, Using God's Word as a Weapon. Oh, my days.
Yeah, good morning, Ben. Yeah, I'm excited for this, Ben, truly. I've got no notes in front of me. We're just in. See what the Lord downloads through us today.
No weapon.
Yeah. Using God's word as a weapon, Ben, it's pretty pretty simple thing, but it's, I guess a lot of people don't use it or don't. They're not aware of how they can use God's word.
That's right. I think as soon as you look at that title, Using God's Word as a Weapon, there are the flag wavers out there go, ooh, we got to love everybody. It's not about bringing an instrument to any human being. It is using God's word as it is, because it is a sword.
Well, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, Ben? The Bible tells us in Ephesians that the word of God is a sword of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Right. And he goes on in Hebrews to say that sword will split marrow and bone, doesn't it? Do you know?
I think what's important is that people will have to realise it splits marrow. So the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It will cut through anything. But the Bible also says our battle is not against flesh and blood, against our brother or our sister in heavenly realms. But also we understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. So the scripture I've got for today is Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. So there are people out there that are bringing words to us that are trying to tear us down. So how do I deal with certain people, certain situations, without putting the gloves on, as in the physical? I speak God's word.
Speak God's word, Ben, yeah. And funny enough, I was looking over it and posted something this morning that Proverbs 16:7, Ben, said, if a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies be at peace with him.
Amazing.
So, if the man's ways please the Lord, which means we've got to get into the word. So before you can use it as...
You've got to know it.
You've got to know it.
You've got to know the author.
You've got to know it, Ben.
Because there are many Bible teachers out there, many lecturers that can give a lecture on the scripture, can teach it, but don't really know the author. It's knowing the author, isn't it? It's being a disciple. It's understanding who God is. It's understanding the Trinity, because no weapon... Now, that scripture I've used, and it has been manipulated, isn't it, in the evangelical world of preaching and teaching, no weapon forged against you shall prosper, and you can dance and shout around that. But it's understanding the context of it, that the battle belongs to the Lord. So whatever the enemy brings and draws to me isn't going to penetrate, because there is a fiery hedge around each and every one of us. But God's word is a weapon of destruction. Not like we are seeing with Putin of that military force,
no,
but in spiritual, more powerful.
Yeah.
In the heavenlies, isn't it, Simon?
He says in Jeremiah, I think it's 23:29, he says, my word is like a mighty hammer, which is like smashes rock to pieces. So here we are, God is telling us that his word is powerful, but not that we can just sling it about or whatever, but we need to know it.
Yeah.
And we need to know it, and we need to know when to use it.
And how to use it, Ben.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I think that's what we're going to look into a little bit today. And we're never going to get everything right, but...
No, never.
But we're going to have a go, and that's what we're doing. We're having a go and sort of bringing our interpretation of it, I guess. And Ben, you've been at Bible college, haven't you, Ben?
I have, yeah. I've been at Bible college.
How many days did you go? Was it just the morning?
It took me about 6 or 7 years. But I remember, right, because this is all about I remember I enrolled on a BA course, and I got 3/4 all the way through, and I felt God stirred my spirit in that and said, you shouldn't be here. Because I wanted titles rather than wanting God's word. I wanted the accolades, but I struggled all the way through. So the biggest thing I had to do regarding Bible college after all this other ordinational stuff is I had to stand up in my class and go, I'm gone, John. I'm out. I've got to go back to what God had called me to do, because I was wrestling. So theological studying is good, is important, and that is studying God's word, but it's understanding who the author is and what he's called you to. So there's so much to what you're bringing to the table today.
There's a lot. And like, what do they call the written word? Do they call it logos?
Logos and rhemos.
And rhema is the spoken word.
It's the spoken word. You've got to be careful with certain cultures using that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because they will go off on a platform of shouting and hollering, dancing and chanting and getting into a chant, don't they? And so there is a fine line, isn't there, with God's word, of going into an area of very strange teachings. So there is a line, isn't there?
Because we don't. It's not a formula, Ben.
No.
It's not a formula where we go, speak this and get that. No, it doesn't work like that. We are allowed to use God's word because of our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we can speak God's word over our lives because of what Jesus has done for us. Not because of who we are, because who we are is nothing.
It's irrelevant.
And I've got to say to you, if you're listening out there, and this might come as a shock, but God don't need you.
He doesn't need me.
He doesn't need us. But he wants a loving, personal relationship.
Yeah, but it's all about me, though, Simon. Well, who was around when God said, let there be light? I wasn't. Look what he done when he created the heavens and the earth. No human being was on the earth. He done that without the preacher or the teacher. He done that without money. He done that.
He did. And here's the deal, this is for another podcast, really, but I've got to tell you, you're not an accident, right? If you're listening out there, you're not an accident.
You're not a mistake.
You're not a mistake. You're not just something that just happened. Your parents are the ones that God chose. So God had something in mind for you.
Praise God.
When he made you. And the biggest thing he had made for you was to enter into a loving relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. But to get to that stage, you've got to push back on the world and push back on everything that you have held dear in the world, and just release it to the Lord. Because a relationship with Jesus Christ frees you from the world. We've said it before on other podcasts, but you're no longer a citizen of the world. You're a citizen of the kingdom once you enter that.
Amen.
And once you realise that, then all the promises that God has said in his word, in the Bible, you enter that. You can enter into those, but only in a position of humbleness, not a position of using it. So, see, and you're right, Ben, you're exactly right. We have to be careful when we're talking about this subject, because you can do all things with a verse out of context.
You can, you know, and I've done lots.
I think that comes from the book of It's All About Me.
It's All About Me.
Verse 1.
It's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. Simon has brought an interesting text, and I'm going to just reference it, and it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose or pleasure.
Very important. It's when you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's Christ in you.
As the scripture says, for God is working in you.
For God is working in you.
Through you.
Through you. Now, so I believe that God, Jesus in you, that's for you to live in the world. But you in Christ, is for you to go in heaven. That's where that you are.
Yes, yeah.
So we're in Christ to be in heaven, but Christ in you
is
how you relate to everything else in the world. And Christ in you gives you these marvellous words, this wonderful wisdom and wonderful
when you think about this, when you think about this, Mary carried the physical Christ. Now we carry the living word of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. So we understand the Word is Christ. God said, let's make man in our image. So we see very clearly that Christ at the very beginning of creation, you can't take that out. So Christ, God uses Mary to bring Christ into the world. We see that through the book of Matthew, about 14 generations, and where Christ came all the way through the genealogy. So Christ steps into the world. So Mary was used as a vehicle to carry Christ as an infant. Now we carry Christ, as in spiritually, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So what Simon is saying is, greater is you, is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God has taken residence up in our earth suit.
Yeah, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Saviour.
So inside each and every one of us is this living word. This word, this rhema word, the spoken word, the living word. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You are loaded with word. Where Mary was carrying the physical Christ, now we are carrying the living word. Even though Mary was carrying the word, because he is the image of the invisible God, and we get that. But what we got to remember is that Christ is living in you.
Do you know, that's a massive point, Ben, and I think it's a great point, and I think it's worth repeating again, because I don't think that's preached properly.
Makes
I
me
don't
want to cry.
Think, I don't, yeah, I don't
it really
think
does, Simon.
That is preached properly. I don't think people realise that by, you know, when you, you know, you may say a prayer or whatever, accept Jesus, and people don't have the realisation of what that actually means.
Yeah,
and
God, the deity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is not sharing your earth suit with the devil. The demons flee just at the name of Jesus. So when we talk about brokenness, when we talk about all this stuff that goes on in the Christian's life, you are not broken inside to a degree. So forgive me for saying this, but you are, but you're not, because you are automatically healed. You are saved. You are saved by grace. It's the outside influence that causes chaos in the mind.
And the problem is, if you have got one foot in the world and foot in the kingdom, then you're always going to have trouble. And this is where I'm trying to say, we use God's word as a weapon. So say, for example, the first thing you do in the morning, if you reach for a cup of coffee or whatever, but if you don't start the day off with the right mindset, see, the enemy will make a, we know the battlefield is of the mind, so the enemy will make a play for your mind and thought pattern first thing in the morning, before you even get out of bed. You know, when you're just waking up, he's in there, he wants to
bang, he's on it.
So if we have a set of scriptures,
Psalm 23, Psalm 91, maybe even the Lord's Prayer as well. So you've got three scriptures, haven't you? Because the Lord's Prayer is the living word.
It's the living word,
If Christ gave us his word, what is he telling us? Use this.
Use it,
Speak it. So if you go Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer, and then Psalm 91, you are speaking word.
You're speaking word. You're speaking word over your life, not for any formula, but because you've got the living word inside of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking it out really makes it powerful, because that is what we call the rhema strike, which is the power of God's word, speaking it out.
And the scripture says, God says, my word cannot return void. So when you speak it, now, people might go, well, you're talking a bit of the evangelical, name it and claim it. No, because that doesn't happen. Because when the bottom line of all that is about money and about me. But when you speak his word over your life in the secret place, in the quiet place, where no one else is hearing and listening and watching, that is the power of a relationship. Father, I thank you for today, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Father, I thank you that as I speak your word, angels are put to flight concerning me. When you think about the power of the word of God, but we have a lot of ministries telling us that you've got a spirit of sickness, you've got a spirit of disease, I can't have another spirit living in me. If this God is the God that the Bible tells me is, the scripture tells me about demonic forces that they run and the disciples don't recognize what the spirits are, but the spirits recognize Christ. So no spirit of Lucifer or his agents are going to get near you, internally you, because the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And the scripture says, as the demonic forces, when Christ comes into Galilee and them areas, what are you going to do with us? They recognize Jesus.
Oh, they recognize, yeah, they recognize Jesus. So,
but the church don't recognize his word. Or shall I present it? Look, three quarters of the church don't recognize his word, but the demonic forces recognize his word.
And that's how they recognize
yes,
who's in you, by you speaking out his word exactly, with authority.
That's correct.
Because you, it's now your identity is in yeah, Christ. You
you're
are
a son
Christ,
or a
you're
daughter.
You're a son or a daughter of the living
that's
God.
That's who you are.
Now you have the authority to speak out yeah, against stuff.
Yeah.
Against stuff that's coming again. And what a way to start the day. You know, Ben, and that rhymes, yeah, and that's quite good. So what a way to start the day by
speaking
the word of God.
Because it is out, a weapon. Now, look at David and Goliath. What did David say to Goliath? You come against me sword with sword and spirit, with sword, javelin, and weaponry, and I come in the name of the Lord.
Well, yeah.
I come in the name of the Lord. What does God say about that? I've given him the greatest name. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. If you understand the author, you don't even need a sling and five stones. You just got to show up every day and the devil flees.
Ben, you know, the sad thing is that we have a church out there, and I'm talking about across denominations,
all
over
board,
the place, that has made this so complicated, because through the generations, they want people to look to the leaders of the church to give them answers. So they've made it so complicated, so theological, but it's not. God says, no, it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing. Invite my son into your life. Clear out the old stuff. You've got the living God. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
That's right, yeah. I go from faith to faith. I go from victory to victory. The devil is under my feet. They're the scriptures that have been taken out of context, haven't they? I can do all things through Christ.
Yeah, so who strengthens me? Yeah, yeah.
But they have power.
They've got power. You know, that's a scripture that is completely misused. I can do all things through Christ. It means it puts you at the centre. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You're not at the centre. Don't think. You're not in the book. You're not in this book. You're not David. You're not whoever. But once you accept Jesus Christ,
yes,
who is in this book, then he's living inside of you. And you can do all things with Christ. Through Christ, through him.
Because it's
through
him.
Because it's him.
That's and doing.
And another verse that's taken out of context is, I'm more than a conqueror. No, but this next bit says, through him who loves me.
Yeah.
I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus.
Everything has to be through the living word.
Through the living word.
Because he is the word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Through him.
John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So Christ is the living Word. He is the access to the Father. I cannot get to the Father unless I go through.
Unless you follow Jesus.
So when I go through, I surrender. So when I surrender, I become who he wants me to become. I lay down me and he picks me up and I become the man or the woman he wants me to be.
You're you know, Ben, let's put it really nicely. And the thing is, so when the Father looks at Ben Cooper, he's not looking at Ben Cooper, he's looking at Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is shining out of him. And when we praise Jesus, and when we, because the Father loves it when we praise the Son. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you that you loved the world so much that you gave Jesus to this
world. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for letting Jesus come to this world to die on a cross for my sin, to rise again, to accept me and set me free.
I feel quite, do you know what, Simon? I feel quite lost today in this podcast, as in words. Because you suddenly reach a point in your life, don't you, that you realise it's not about you, it's about the Word. And the Word is weaponry. The Word is warfare. The Word is power. The Word is economical breakthrough. The Word is healing. The Word is salvation. The Word is God.
It's totally God.
And Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
And once you understand that, and once we understand who's living inside of us when we accepted Jesus, then we're humbly we can call on these words and to defend ourselves against anything that's coming about us. And I have a book here, Ben, and it's called 3,000 Beautiful Bible Verses.
Wow.
An amazing Christian quote. Yeah. But there are over 70 interactive categories. It's talking about fear, faith, wisdom, anxiety, sickness. It's got scriptures for all. All of that stuff.
How beautiful is that?
It's got scriptures for all of that stuff. So what I'm saying is, anything that you're troubled with, anything that you're going through, there is a scripture that you can speak out over your life. Because you have Jesus living in you. Jesus says, use the word, doesn't he? Use the word.
And that's done in the secret place. Is it done in the closet?
You're 100% right. And that's in your secret place, that your place, private place.
That van, that walk to work, that commute, that one-to-one with God, that place that nobody can get to you at, you know, maybe wherever you are, whatever it may be doing, that secret place, that place where you have conversations, not for in the world of church where it's all performance and you're at this meeting and that meeting and you're jumping and bouncing. It's that place where you say, God, help me. Lord, let your word free me today.
I Ben, you're absolutely right. I believe if you've out there, if you've got half a dozen scriptures which are meaningful to you that you can memorize, you don't even have to. I don't think you have to memorize them fully, but just get the gist of what the Lord says. I think they're great to have in your back burner, to have in your back pocket. I remember a few months ago, I was going through a little bit of maybe anxiety, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, you know, it's normally about half past 3 a.m. where the old enemy sort of gives you a kick and a backside. Yeah. And I just turned to one psalm and repeated it, which was Psalm 62, 1 and 2. You know, my soul finds rest in you alone. You alone are my rock, my salvation, my fortress in you. I won't be shaken.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And the peace that comes on you
is indescribable.
Indescribable.
Unbelievable.
So instead of going off and thinking and worrying about the
item,
about the thing, you now
focused on Jesus.
Focused on Jesus. And focused on the word of God and Father, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you because your word says this.
And that's really important. The scripture talks about in God there is peace. What did Christ do when he stepped back into the room for Thomas? He said, peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
So Christ is peace. Christ is rest. Christ is hope. You know, John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But I've got to know, who is the truth? I am the way, the truth and the life.
Look, we're coming out with some good scriptures. This is just here Bible today, you know. And John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you're grafted into the vine. You can do nothing.
That's interesting,
apart from
isn't it? You're grafted in.
Yeah.
He's grafted us in without us realizing. We have been adopted. We're sons and daughters. We have been adopted by the word of God.
Can you imagine
God.
That? Just blows your mind, doesn't it?
try and picture it with all my failings, with all my idiosyncrasies, all my character flaws. Well, they're not actually character flaws, really. They're only character flaws to my enemies because they want to use it against me. But Jesus died knowing that I would be a Looney Tune. He died knowing that I would be a sinner. He died knowing that I'll be a loose cannon. He died knowing me. He knows my character. So my character is all right for Jesus. And if it's all right for Jesus, the world can rumble on, can't they?
Totally. Because...
But the church wants you. The church wants to mould you, Simon, into the preacher and the teacher and the Simon it wants. It wants to pull you out of the bag to tell us, Simon, about your life. It wants to use you.
Well, it does want to use you, and it also, you know, wants to manipulate you. There's no manipulation in Christ, is there? It's manipulation and control comes from another place. Christ is all about freedom and forgiveness. And the thing is, we come back to it, and we will repeat it time and time again, but what happens with the church, it wants to use Jesus like a genie in a bowl.
Yeah.
Pull him out when it needs him.
Yeah, 4 hours a week.
Put him back when they're done. And
unbelievable. That's religion, though, isn't it? You can see that for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. But look at David. Look at David. His heart was after God. His heart was after. It's my heart.
And the thing is...
it's not character, is it? It's heart.
The thing is, Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. So he will know what's gone on in your life from a little boy. Or from a little girl, what's been put in place, because there's strongholds been put in place over your life from a very early age, and that's another podcast we go into that strongholds. But the thing is, he knows why you do these things, but what he wants you to do is come to him and hang.
Amen.
And gradually, when we're talking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's revealing this stuff, we can bring it more and more each day, a little bit more. If we're serious about having this relationship with Jesus, then we can bring more and more stuff. And sort of in a black rubbish bag and just give it to Jesus at the foot of his cross. Gradually we're getting more and more into that situation where we're understanding who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And understanding what Christ is in us and what that means as we go about our daily life. And recognizing our failings, recognizing where we are, our weaknesses, if you like, and able then to use the word, because he's living inside us, to push back. If you've got a lustful nature, you know, lustful thoughts, if you've got thoughts of anger, if you're anxiety, there's words that we can use to push back.
Unforgiveness,
fear, huge, all that
doubt,
stuff.
There's so much in the word of God. Do you know what? Christ died for you and he died for me. The character that we are today, he died for. You know, three nails on that held Christ to the cross of Calvary. One nail was for the past sin, one nail was for the sin of now, this moment, and one nail for the future. Three nails. And I really believe that if the Romans extracted them nails, Christ would have still stayed on that cross, because he was on there because of the love for each and every one of us. Before we even came into being, he died and he gave us hope and he gave us future. He's given us word. He's given us unconditional love, because he is the God of love. There is always hope.
And Ben, that's exactly right. And what he brings when you accept Christ.
Oh, wow.
He brings forgiveness for the past.
Yeah. Healing for now.
Peace in the present.
Peace in the present.
And hope for the future. And without him, we're just another lost soul, just bouncing around at the whim of the world. So we see it, don't we? The world all of a sudden puts pressure and fear on us in one area,
yeah,
takes that away and put yeah. replaces it by, so we're bouncing. If you're we're not careful, around.
We've bounced from the COVID, we bounced from Brexit to COVID, now to the military might. So it's going from one, and it's like a flick of a switch. There isn't a gradual transfer. It's like one thing ends, another one's in full flight. One thing ends, another one is in, and it's global. Everything is global.
It's global now, yeah.
So
yeah,
now we are living in a time within the UK that the UK is very thin spiritually because of the lacking of the doctrines of the Word of God, where the church hasn't preached and taught the Word of God very, very clearly, and it's taken it out of context. So if you are a believer listening to these podcasts, God is drawing you away from religion, and God is living in you the power of God's Word, and no weapon forged against you shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up against you will be condemned, because God loves you. Romans 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son. What is his son? His son is the living word.
He's the living word. And
where does this word live, Simon?
It lives in the Bible, and it lives inside of
and
us.
It lives in us.
And the thing is, that's why on all of our podcasts,
excuse me,
we never come away from the word.
You can't, we can't, can we?
We never come away from the living word in the Bible.
And it's the word.
You get into the Bible with the Holy Spirit and the revelation that comes out, what the Bible will speak to you in a way that's never spoken to you before. And what I'd say is, if anyone in your life says, oh, this scripture's for you, or then write it down.
Take it,
write it down.
Yeah,
look at it, because there's scriptures in that have been given to me in my life that I've written, and I think writing it down as well is a good way of memorizing this stuff.
Yeah,
and if God has used another person to bring a scripture to your mind,
amen.
Then it may be a scripture for that time.
Yeah.
But it's a scripture for you, so, you know...
The word speaks.
Speaks.
The word is alive, sharper than a double-edged sword. It speaks, it cuts through. And that living word is a weapon of warfare. It tears down strongholds. It flattens the enemy. The enemy has no power over the word of God.
No power over the word of God, because...
It cannot.
If you're... But you need the authority to speak it out. And authority is Jesus Christ living in you. And that's that relationship and with Christ. And the only way you're going to strengthen that relationship is through reading the Bible. God. And bringing yourself to a place that we've always said, where we say completely, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
Not my will, but your will be done. Father, in this, as same as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, bring ourselves to that place and say, not my will, but your will be done. Because without you, and I love the phrase, this earth suit is nothing. What are we without
you? What are we without this holy God? What are we? We're nothing. You know, God's word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It will cut through. God's word will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God's word will make a way where there is no way. God's word will open doors. God's word will close doors. God's word will protect you from the arrows of the enemy. Because when you look at spiritual warfare, warfare in that spiritual place can only be done by the power of God's word. And we don't need to put on the gloves, and we don't need to go and jump because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against strongholds in heavenly realms. But the battle belongs to the Lord. So I don't really fight. I just believe.
You just believe. And
I walk with him.
But the battleground, Ben, is in your mind, isn't it? And the battleground is in your mind. And when you're... away from the word, when you're away, the battleground becomes a real playground for the enemy, if you like. Because
it does, it becomes swings and seesaws and
jumps all over it. But if you're prepared with the word, and you I guess it's the word is have a little bit of discipline in your daily life, which is, you know, the Father's always there wanting you to come to him.
Always.
And if you've come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, he wants to see you. He wants to know about you. He wants to know about even the smallest things in your life. He wants to know about you, and he wants you to seek him. As it says in Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah 29:13. Now, I know the plans I have for you. He was talking about Israel at that time, but I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you.
That's right.
But you will find me if you seek me.
With all.
Yeah.
With all your...
heart.
Heart. Isn't it interesting? Nothing about knowledge, nothing about money, nothing about how many homes you got, nothing about your ministry, nothing about your family, nothing about anything but your heart, your innermost being. Simon mentioned something about the mind, the battlefield of the mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to be test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing and perfect will." The battlefield of the mind actually belongs to Christ. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is the word of God, isn't it? When I speak the word, it refreshes, it renews my thought pattern, it brings my thought pattern into line with the word, in his will, in his good purpose, and his pleasure. It is the word that washes me through.
Completely. It's the word that...
cleanses that me, guides
sets
me.
Sets your feet on that solid ground. Amen. That is the foundation of your faith. So it's the foundation of your life. It's the knowing that word of God... just brings a smile to your face. Yeah. You know, when I read a scripture like in Deuteronomy where it says, you know, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And you can remind God of that, you know, just, Father, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me.
And his
Father.
Promises, all the promises in his word.
And you can only step into the promises.
When?
Yeah.
When you know.
When you know you've got a relationship, an ongoing personal, intimate, and people would look at that word intimate and wonder about it, but I'm not ashamed to say it's an intimate relationship, it's a personal, close relationship. Personal
with the Father.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. It can only go through the Word. The starting point is Christ, through Christ, but going through Christ, you're going through God, because, you know, without going into deep theological stuff, so I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Access is found in Jesus.
Totally. So
freedom is found in Jesus.
Freedom, forgiveness is found in
healing Jesus. Is found in Jesus.
Healing, yeah.
Everything is found in Jesus. Wow.
So we owe Jesus everything.
Absolutely everything.
We owe him everything. And you know, he will lead us to the Father if we... let him. And when we meet the Father just wants to see you, and he'll say, you know, "Who's this, Jesus?" And Jesus introduces you to the Father. And when you're with the Father, it's just an amazing thing. And Jesus is the way, the example, the way we live our life, and everything to do with our life is in this book called the Bible. The Word of God.
The Word of God. We've reached that point.
Have we?
Almost.
Wow.
The time has absolutely accelerated. We've got a few minutes. See, when you're in Jesus, time just escapes, doesn't it? When you talk about Christ and you're talking about the Word of God, time just evaporates. That is the beauty of his Word, because time does not exist in God's Word. Time does not exist in him. He is everything. So when you're in him, he is in you. You know, there's something powerful about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word.
It's all powerful. Look, you know, we haven't even mentioned when Jesus was tempted in the desert. What did he do, Ben? He just turned and he says, It is written.
Three times. It is written.
So if the Word has got enough...
for Jesus.
It's more than that.
I think, the Word is freedom. The Word is truth. The Word is hope. The Word is healing. The Word is everything you need to know. He is the way, and He is the living Word. Christ is the Word. And John says very clearly in the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. I think what's important to understand is that the Word wasn't birthed. The Word was already in existence. So when it says the Word became, became means it already was. It already was. So we understand that because we know that Christ was at the very beginning of time. He created time. So when John says, and the Word became flesh, the Word was presented to humanity as flesh.
And I think it's very important to note, as you, as we've said in this podcast, when you do give your life and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He comes to live inside of you by the power of His Holy Spirit.
Goodness.
So Christ is in you and you are in Christ, and Paul clearly says that. Mm.
So what happens then? If Christ comes to live in me, who exits?
Well,
the old man exits.
You know,
any spirits that you might want to label up, whatever, because...
Should exit, but, you know, it's a process, isn't it? You know, because... Yeah. You know, there's little bits we hang on to, we spoke about that in the one first podcast in this session, which was being born again. But he says it in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Ooh. It's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me.
So there's no mention of Lucifer, there's no mention of the devil. So Christ lives in me. You are free. The only spiritual influence you can have at all from the agents of hell are from the outside.
Please.
And infiltrate your thinking, because Jesus is living in you. Jesus is part of you. God created you, and the devil flees.
So here's the deal. So from the moment that you give your life to Jesus,
yeah,
then... The enemy has no hold over you.
No.
But it's only the hold that you give him by inviting the thoughts back into
your mind.
Inviting
the thought back. Not the spiritual side back, but the thought of it. It's the thought that the Bible talks about take captive the thought.
Take captive the thought, yeah.
It's the thought. So there's a strange lot of teachings out there that the devil is still and can live in with you. You've got the spirit of this, you've got the spirit of that. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. Christ will not live with any other agent. God will not share His glory with no one. If you are saved, you are saved. And the outside influence is trying to get to your ear gate and your eye gate, trying to mess with your mind.
And you have the choice. You have the choice whether to invite that in, you know, invite that in and sit down and act on that thought.
So the thought needs to be dealt with, because the scripture says, if I continue in the thought becomes an action, the action becomes sin, the sin becomes... Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Death.
Thoughts. But then there's
the
power of repentance to the thought, because we don't even need to. When you think about the thought is the same as the action.
Well, so here's the deal, Ben. You know, the thought can become the word. So
exactly,
thought can become a word, and words then become action. So we have to be very careful.
Of every thought needs to be taken captive.
Every word we need, because the Bible says that we have to give account for every word that we speak.
Oh God, I think we better leave it at this one, because we're getting goodness. Word that we have spoken for, the scripture is right. Simon is right. Every word, we need to be accountable. Lord, please erase some stuff that I've said. Please, but by the blood of the Lamb.
Well, we just very briefly, using the Word of God as a powerful weapon, get a few scriptures under your belt, but get into the Word of God and you use, know that the Spirit of the living God is living inside of you, and when you speak these scriptures out, speak them in authority, because you've got the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. And as Ben says many times on this podcast, greater is he living in you than he who's living in the world.
Amen. Simon, you've wrapped that up beautifully. God is with you wherever you are today. Thank you for joining us. You've been joining Simon Pinchbeck and myself. And we've had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit with us today. And he's always with us because he will never leave us nor forsake us. You can find us in many different places. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We're on Twitter. And you'll find us on the website that we have. Please remember the book that is out at this moment. The second one is pressing. And the title of today's podcast is very, very simple. Using God's Word as a weapon, coming under and in the framework of fighting talk. You are a child of the living God. God bless. We'll see you soon. In Jesus' name. Amen.